You're listening to the Two Preachers Talking Podcast, a place where the love of God and moderate thinking come to life. And now, here are the two preachers, Marty and John.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Marty.
And I'm John.
And we are the Two Preachers Talking. And today we're coming to you from, I was going to say the beautiful Shenandoah Valley. It is beautiful in its own way.
It's dreary.
It's dreary and raining as we are sitting here in the Toll House Studios. Where it's a little cool, John.
Look, man, we finally got climate control in the Toll House. All right.
I know. I'm sorry. It's not.
When you get
hot,
older, Marty, your blood gets thinner. I know. It's hard for you to self-regulate your temperature. I understand.
I should have brought a coat, but I didn't. So today it's Friday, June 16th.
What are you doing trying to take us back to January?
Not January. We don't want to go back to the winter months, do we?
No.
Not right now. No. It's June 16th. That's on a Friday, and we're sitting here in the Toll House Studios, and kind of we've had some good conversation this morning. Had some time that John could set up our mics and get everything ready. But, we're doing good. How are you doing, John?
Doing okay, man. It's been a good week. We talked on the last time about my broken arm. Went to the doctor this week. Everything's looking better with that, so I'm pretty excited about, he pretty much gave me the release to do whatever, except I still can't go past 15 pounds. But
okay.
It was kind of funny, though, because he asked me, he said, does your injury prevent you from doing anything you would normally do? And I said, well, you told me I couldn't lift more than 5 pounds. And he said, that's true, no more than five. And I said, well, normally when I make a burrito, it's at least 7 pounds. So that's inconvenient.
That's a lot of beans.
That's a lot of burrito. Assistant would just started laughing. He goes, well, how about we'll take you to 15 pounds? So I can eat two burritos with one hand.
But it gets you back to a place where you can start strumming the guitar again.
And
those kind of things. I think you did say you could swing a golf club.
They said I can swing a golf club as long as I don't take a divot. So he said maybe start at the driving range first then work up to, like me, take a divot? I'd never take a divot.
Did you tell him with the 5 pounds that you said, I'm just a pastor. The only heaviest thing I lift is a Bible.
That's right.
And my Bible right now is not that big.
That's right.
I don't need the large print yet.
Well, I don't know. I do need the large print.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you? How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. It's been a busy week. Past couple of weeks, we've had some surgeries in our church and just other things that's happening. But, we're preparing for Father's Day.
Yep.
By the time you hear this, we probably will be past Father's Day.
Yep.
But we are in that mode, I think. Hopefully, you're looking forward to a nice Father's Day.
It's going to be fun. We're worshiping outside for Father's Day. So we're kind of gearing up for that, making that happen this week. So
Anything else you're doing this weekend?
Got to do a funeral on Saturday. Okay. And then tonight we got a big youth thing. We're doing a lockout where the kids will be outside for 18 hours straight. No going inside unless you have to use the restroom. Mm-hmm. So that'd be fun. Maybe.
Well, cool.
I don't know.
And you've had two boys at camp.
Had two boys at camp. They come home tonight. They've been canoeing.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's already season for camp to now.
This was the first week at Brother Woods.
So this was their first week. Mine comes in a few weeks.
Yep.
I'll be leading a week. So one of the things we should tell our audience, John, is where we'll be in a few weeks or a couple of weeks. We will be at annual conference, our Church of the Brethren annual conference, which is in Cincinnati. WKRP. Well, actually, Cincinnati, Ohio.
There you go.
And they're doing something a little different. I know we always have our worships, our business sessions, and different things. But there's the exhibit hall that undoubtedly they're trying to expand their traffic in there.
Yep.
And for some reason, John, they asked if we could put the podcast in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
I don't know either. But the scenario is they're going to do some coffee shop or coffee house style events where there'll be live events such as music and a variety of things. And they're doing a couple of the affiliated podcasts.
Yeah.
And we're one of them. And so we're going to be recording live. What did I say, John?
Thursday
at 11:40. So it'll be during the lunchtime.
Come have lunch with the two preachers.
Bring your cup of coffee with you.
You say coffee house. I say where at. Yeah. I'm down with that.
So I think it's going to be kind of right there in front of our booth.
Yeah.
The booth there. And we also want to give a shout out to Mutual Aid Association.
Yep.
For their sponsorship.
Sponsoring the booth
for us. They
sent me
a note this week saying they're still planning to. And I still have to write a little note to so they can put it in our files. But
that's right.
We're kind of tickled with that because, John, I have to tell you, it's interesting. And, you know, we can share these things on our podcast, can't we?
Oh, of course.
You know, we're kind of looking forward to this. But it was funny that they asked us to participate but still had us do what?
Pay.
Hard to believe.
I know.
We had to pay for something.
It's okay. Mutual Aid's helping us out.
Yeah.
Mutual Aid is mutually aiding us. Yeah. We appreciate that because, you know.
And if you have a chance, you hear this, and you're at Angel Conference, be sure to go by their booth and say, hey, say thank
That's
you.
It.
Give them a little shout out. Say thanks for your sponsorship of Two Preachers Talking Podcast. Because
and if you don't like their sponsorship, keep it to yourself.
Just walk by.
That's right. That's right.
But their business is such that I don't think it will mess you up too much.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of ironic.
It's just insurance.
We're looking to increase foot traffic, so we want you to come. By the way, you got to pay us to help us.
Yeah.
Oh.
But man, we do thank Mutual Aid for doing that. So
please
do go by.
In all seriousness, thanks to Annual Conference for asking us to be a part of it.
Yeah, and like we said, please do go by Mutual Aid's booth and give them a shout out and a thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
Because we really do appreciate their help. In that. So, John, we wanted to take a little more serious note, I think, over the next, 4 weeks or so?
4 weeks, yes.
At least 4 episodes or so.
Yeah.
And kind of look at what is happening within our denomination that we've been a part of. What maybe we're experiencing within a lot of our districts. Maybe within our congregations. But part of this is you have seen our kind of disclaimer or our promo, I guess we'd say, at the beginning. Last week,
I believe, and we'll continue to do it. Surviving the split.
And, John, we wanted to make sure that people understood kind of who our audience is directed towards, right?
Yeah. You know, Two Preachers Talking for a long time now, we're kind of geared, through the lens of the Church of the Brethren. But also I think more for pastors, leaders in the church. We have those who are in the pews that listen some, but I think specifically our podcast is talking from the lens of two brethren preachers mm-hmm. and the way we experience the world, the way we experience ministry, and specifically through this, how we are experiencing the current context of the Church of the Brethren mm-hmm. and how we've navigated these past few years since the split. Is that a good way of putting it?
I think so. We were trying to come up with this morning when that split sort of occurred, I guess, and you kind of figured that the group that left, which became the Covenant Brethren Church, was what, about 3 years ago?
About 3 years ago.
Even though the discussion, I think, was a little bit before that.
Yeah, so it looked like we pulled up, and actually, Marty, I mean, I was at the first Chambersburg meeting, the first time that this thing started. So we pulled up, if you look on the Covenant Brethren's website, it's 2019 is when they started having these conversations, but I think it was July 2020, when the first congregation was chartered, first ordinations were given. And so that kind of, to me, is the moment where there was this official splitting that began to happen in the Church of the Brethren.
I think that would we would say that sort of where we begin.
And I mean, just to be clear, like through this surviving the split thing, like our goal here as Marty and John, the two preachers, is not to say whether that's right or whether that's wrong. But we're not going to get into, you know, accusatory stuff, but rather like the thought is, how do we as Church of the Brethren folk, Church of the Brethren ministers specifically for us, how do we navigate what's been happening in the past few years? Because it has now gotten to the point where I think every minister at some level has been impacted
by this
split. Our denomination as a whole has been affected by this split.
Yeah, whether it's through, I would say, conversations with one another in our pastors' groups or our opportunities to be with one another, whether it's at lunch, you know, coffee or just other events, or through conversations with congregations, I mean, we'd have to be upfront that there are some congregations that are not yet feeling sort of the trajectory of where things are.
Right.
But it's starting to get into to those, and congregations are starting to discern a little bit,
right,
of what's happening. How do we navigate through this, especially through our own understanding of Scripture, theology, and now where do we go from here? But as you said, we want to do it less through our congregational lens, because as pastors, we're part of a congregation, but we're not in some ways. But how do we...
Our allegiance to the Church of the Brethren, for lack of a better term, is different as a pastor, sure, than as a congregation member, right? Right? Because we hold ordinations, we have ethical responsibilities. There,
yeah,
we are part of a group, mm-hmm, in a different way than a congregation member, and so the split probably hits leaders, pastors, a little different than a congregation member. Mm-hmm. I think that's completely fair to say.
Yeah, and it's not to say that congregations aren't feeling the impact of it.
They are.
They definitely are. But how do we as pastors kind of walk through this time, and the experiences that we're dealing with, when maybe even we're not at the same place as other groups are? When we think
or even for some, there are pastors that are not at the same place as their congregation.
Exactly, exactly.
That's a reality. That,
right.
That some pastors feel completely different than their congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that needs to be said too, Marty, is this split isn't necessarily just like Church of the Brethren CBC. Like, there are churches that have left and went independent.
Yeah.
There are churches who, you know, I mean, so there's a multitude. There's the what we call quiet quitting. Mm-hmm. Then in the past few years, we've seen, I think, an increase of churches who, while they're still part of the Church of the Brethren, they've just said, we're done. We're not going to be, it's on the sign, and mm-hmm, we may be formally a part, but we're not going to continue to take part in the national or district program, and mm-hmm, we're over that. So I think that's kind of what I feel like. You have the four groups. You have those who are in the Church of the Brethren, and they're kind of a part of that. You have the folks that are part of the Covenant Brethren who have left the Church of the Brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have those who have left and become independent, and then you have those who have kind of quietly quit, and they're Church of the Brethren in title only for the legal purposes of having a mm-hmm congregation, but they are in no way active in either one of those things. Is that kind of the four?
I think so. I think it's what we're trying to look at. And it's and historically, we should say that this has happened before. It's not some sort of new thing that's happening. I mean, we're seeing it in other denominations,
right? It's
as
not
well.
Even just
thinking
Church of
the Brethren. I was noticed on Facebook, one of my Facebook friends who was who went to seminary with, who was a Methodist pastor. I mean, they're really experiencing quite a split too. Theirs is going, I think, is about a three-way split, isn't it,
mm-hmm,
at the moment, where they're going a very conservative to maintaining more of a Methodist stance in some ways, and so they're dealing with it and sort of over the same issue that we probably are, little different from what I was telling John that, I was thinking about, I was keeping up on Twitter with the Southern Baptists and just sort of the travails that they're having at the moment. I mean, they're dealing with some difficulty over what's their big issue.
Right, you know, women in ministry.
Women in ministry. And so it's interesting how we as ministers have to kind of walk through these moments of standing for who we are and standing for theological, should we say, rightness in some way, or but yet also, how do we walk with our congregations too in the midst of our own turmoil that I guess we're experiencing, the tensions that we have within us?
Right. Well, and even like I've explained to folks in my own congregation, of there's something different when you hold that ordination card,
mm-hmm,
because like part of our ordination, like I'll just name one of my personal struggles I've had through this. As the church has, Church of the Brethren especially, has gone its way and started to set a trajectory for the future, part of our ordination vows is that we will uphold the beliefs, practices, and the values of the Church of the Brethren, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do as a person who holds an ordination and takes that vow, and we take that vow every 5 years,
right.
In our ordination reviews, when you aren't necessarily supportive,
uh-huh,
of some, mm-hmm, of the beliefs and practices and values of the Church of the Brethren, and you have this internal war that you don't
nobody, you don't have to take that vow as a member of a church. You don't have to take that to serve on a church board, right?
Right.
But as pastors, we have to do that. And if you're someone like I think both of us, who I take that vow very seriously, right? And so if you're a part of the Southern Baptist and you believe that women should be pastors, and all of a sudden now you're holding an ordination card and you're asked to uphold the beliefs and practices and values of the Southern Baptist, and you're like, I don't know if I can faithfully do that anymore.
Right.
If
you've
went out and said this, and this is how we're moving forward together. Because, I mean, not only have the Southern Baptists, and from what I've gathered, not only have they said no women in ministry, like, they've doubled down hardcore. Like, they've gotten, in many ways, they've tightened up on that through this experience with Saddleback.
When you kick out your second largest church,
right,
which is probably more familiar to us,
right,
because of the writings of Rick Warren,
right,
when you tell them you're no longer affiliated with us,
right,
you are really taking a stand.
Right. You've doubled down on it now.
Yes,
right?
You have.
And so I think, and we've seen that even with some of the Church of the Brethren stuff. And
yeah.
And then I think the other thing that's unique for us, right, Marty, and I think what this needs to be named specifically for those of us in the Church of the Brethren, is for the history, one of the things that we have prided ourselves, and I know we're not supposed to be proud as brethren, but one of the things, one of the hallmarks of the Church of the Brethren organization is a grassroots, a bottom-up sort of organization, that things that come from congregations, we've really always said, like, we are, but yet, we've entered a season where I feel like, more than ever, people like annual conference moderators, especially this annual conference moderator, has said things to try to push a top down sort of leadership style, which already as brethren kind of makes us go, no, that's not how we operate. But I would even argue that I feel like since the CBC thing, there's been a lot more like value placed on one or two specific individuals and the things they say. And, you know, it used to be like an annual conference moderator, their job was to moderate a meeting, preach a sermon, and yeah, they would help navigate the church for a year. But now all of a sudden, like, I will say, like, one of the things just personally that I'm struggling with this annual conference moderator, is the things that he's saying, I don't think are your role as a moderator.
Right.
You're overstepping what I believe to be your call. You're called to help us navigate business and do the work of the church. You're not called to project theological understandings or mission and values of the church. That's not your job.
That's right. I mean, a lot of that, when you say, is our job with our congregations,
right,
is to kind of navigate through what does it mean to be a brethren? What does it mean to interact with Scripture in light of this issue and that issue? And the problem is, I think that we've got leadership at times that politicizes,
right,
what the church is to be, not theologizes what is that a good word? Theologizes?
We made a word.
What, yeah, we made a word.
New term.
What the church
make
should
it,
be.
Put on
times.
A T-shirt.
Yeah.
What was
and
it?
So it does go with the culture that we live within versus, which brethren have traditionally been anti-culture.
Right, we're countercultural people.
We're kind of countercultural people in that we're in the world but not of it.
Right.
And that means, and I really, while I hadn't heard it before like this, is we haven't taken the time, as one of the, we heard someone say last night at a meeting, that we're not sitting around with our Bibles anymore talking about these things. And while we may have disagreements, and, you know, we're not going to agree with everybody, even in our congregations, are we?
Right.
We can sit and open the Scriptures and kind of figure out where these things are and where they lie. I think we've forgotten what it means to even open the Scriptures again.
Yeah.
And we say, okay, I've got this viewpoint and I'm going to share it.
Right.
Which I think we as pastors have to be very careful with too at times.
Right.
Is that we kind of personalize it as well in such a way that we might be wrong sometimes.
Right.
But let's
not get carried away here,
let's
Marty.
Not get carried away.
Let's not get carried away. Okay.
We're right, aren't we?
Gosh, man. Didn't
I know,
you
I'm
read
sorry.
The cliff notes? But seriously, like, I don't like, and I think that's part of the tension.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have some of us who would say, I don't need, and I'll speak like for me, I don't need the denomination to tell me what to think or to tell me how to pastor Mount Zion, right? Or any congregation of which I will serve. Like, I don't need you to do that for me. I don't need, you know, a moderator or a standing committee delegate or a mission and ministry board or any of those things to tell me how to live out Jesus in my neighborhood. Don't mm-hmm. need you to do that for mm-hmm. me. So please stop doing it. And so when I hear this, that feels new to me. Okay. You know, I've mm-hmm. been, I've mm-hmm. served in leadership in the Church of the Brethren now in a various amount of ways for the past 10 years. And it feels new to me that mm-hmm. we have mm-hmm. standing committee or we have moderator. I can't even think of his name right now.
Tim.
Thank you. We have Tim or we have anybody who's standing up and saying, you need to do this or I'm going to lead the church. You know, as Tim said, he finds it his goal as a moderator to increase inclusivity in the church. That's not your job.
Right? No, that is the discernment
of the body. So you need to slow
down.
Annual
conference delegates are the body.
Right. Your job is to moderate, dude.
Your role is to make sure that we don't jump over chairs and hit each other in the head or something.
Right.
Which will be fun. No, I'm just kidding.
Peacefully, simply together, Marty.
That's right. but yeah. I mean, that's their role is right. to make sure that it's running smoothly, that it's done in its proper Robert's Rules of Order
right.
Way, and to kind of discern whether it's time to say yes, no, you know, as we vote.
Right.
And those things. It's not your responsibility as a moderator to be the Pope.
Right.
Right.
And I would actually say that, and I know that that has projected itself yeah. as dialogue about same-gender marriage specifically.
Yeah.
But I would actually say that I don't really care. There's a lot of things that you could say that I think the culture that many of us are resisting of uh-huh. mm-hmm. you're using your office as a bully pulpit, and you need to stop.
Right.
And whether that's about same-gender marriage or that's about any hot-button issue, like, mm-hmm. you need to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real quick, right? So I think that's part of what we're dealing with too. So some of this is theological. I think otherwise it's cultural. Like I think that, you know, the Church of the Brethren we've shrunk. We've lost over 10% of our membership.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
In the past 3 years.
Right.
And it might be more. I'm just going off of like the numbers that I know I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost 10% of our membership. Churches are closing. You know, we have a ministerial crisis. There's nowhere close to enough pastors to fill these pulpits.
Right.
So we have all these things. And then all of a sudden, it feels to me like specifically some of the denominational officials have now started to use their roles to move us as a denomination into areas. And I'm kind of going, okay, so now it feels like we're trying to make this shift where we're trying to make ourselves into a top-down organization, which I think instead is actually out of survival.
I think you're probably right, because actually, I mean, our pure nature is bottom-up, which
right.
is we're more congregational in nature, which means that the congregation is to have a lot more of that,
right.
what do we say, influence?
Influence. And because our congregations are more diverse than ever, there's less congregations than ever, mm-hmm. and lots of those congregations don't have pastoral leadership. I think out of survival, we flipped to this now all of a sudden, some people are trying to make us a top-down organization, mm-hmm. which, A, is not how we're designed. None of our polity, none of our practice, none of that is written to where, like, news, David Steele is not the highest authority in the Church of the Brethren. He's the general secretary. David Steele doesn't have a lot of... He has authority over the staff
right.
that occupy Elgin. But David Steele doesn't have authority over our congregations. Mm-hmm. And I don't think David feels that way. David's a close personal friend. Love him. I don't think David would ever try to take authority over our congregations. But I think because of the culture, people are like, well, David Steele's in charge. David Steele ain't in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Congregations are still in charge. But mm-hmm. then now, I think we've gotten to this place in the church where, like, agencies have started to move the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we forget, like, Honor and Peace has no bearing in the life of the congregation, right? Like, the tail's kind of wagging the dog in some ways. And mm-hmm. so I think we have this, like, power struggle where who's actually driving the Church of the Brethren? Is it the staff? Mm-hmm. Is it David? Is it Mission Ministry Board? Is it agencies? Well, the answer is supposed to be the congregations, but when your congregations are in disarray.
Sure, right.
don't know. Does that make sense?
It does. And then, you know, and congregations are now going, even if we're staying within the body for a while, we're gonna let you know how we feel through our pocketbooks too.
Right.
Which eventually will affect what happens in what true ministry could be.
Right.
I mean, there is true ministry that could be given to us through agencies and organizations. I mean, I think there's an importance to an organization.
Right.
I mean, in a church hierarchy, we need some sense of accountability as churches, as pastors, you know, to not, you know, do something to destroy the life of our pastor, or as a pastor, destroy the life of our church. And,
right.
You know, you have to have those things in place. But when the organization itself becomes almost, I think, anti what our forefathers started. I mean, I think about the idea of Alexander Mack, who did not want to be head of a church so much that he said, we're going to draw lots for who baptizes me and nobody's going to know.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because he didn't want just, and maybe, and I can't say that he didn't seem to have, I think he just, as he led this group, you had to have someone that people can kind of rally behind. I don't want to say just follow, because following can be sort of, you can be led astray fairly quickly.
Right.
But I think that his idea was that we don't want to have this power structure in
right.
such a way that that they're only going to listen to me, you know,
right.
Because they were very faithful in their willingness to sit around Scripture and look and see what it was telling them to do.
Right.
And I we've almost gotten away from even our own brethren heritage at times.
Yeah. Well, and then so looking at this through the lens of pastors, like
yeah.
one of the struggles I think we've talked about privately, right, is as pastors, we kind of become the filters for our yeah. congregations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of act as that door between what do we allow, how do we allow the denomination to influence our congregations? And mm-hmm. I found that, Marty, during this split, talking about surviving the split, that is a hard line to toe for me personally.
Because mm-hmm.
there are things that happen at the denominational level. There are programs. There are people that lead us that I know would not just upset my congregation, would infuriate my congregation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I actually think if you actually look back to what started this whole thing, it comes back to introduction of a same gender couple at annual conference. That's now been over 10 years ago.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I think that put us on this defense of, okay, how do we mediate the relationship between our congregations who don't affirm
mm-hmm.
sort of that, you know, same gender stuff and all that stuff. Because before there wasn't there wasn't, you know, live streaming of annual conference.
Right.
There wasn't
right.
mass, you know, Facebook pages to follow and things like that. Like, you know, all of a sudden your congregation has more access to denominational ministries. And so I think as pastors, that's a line that's hard for me to toe sometimes, is my congregation is in a pretty healthy place right now. And I don't want to let the dysfunction of the Church of the Brethren upset that. But at the same time, if we're Church of the Brethren, what right, like, don't they have it some right, a right to know mm-hmm. what the denomination they're a part of
mm-hmm.
is doing? I don't know. Do you feel that tension? I feel that tension.
Yeah, I do. I mean, there is an awareness of what do we do, what do we share, and how do we share it. I mean, it's not that a lot of us are allowing our congregations to be ignorant to what's going on.
Right.
I mean, they're hearing things,
right.
and they'll ask questions, but maybe sometimes it's how far do we take that conversation, too.
Right.
And to mention, if somebody says, I hear there's a new denomination started, does that, you know, why? And, you know, you say, yeah, we know why, and we can talk about it a little bit, and, you know, here's some of the issues they've dealt with, you know, and are kind of looking at, and why they've moved on, and what we're still experiencing within our congregation. And some folks, I think, in our congregations don't get as wound up at times.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to kind of continue to listen for a little bit to see mm-hmm. where it's going. So we try to walk with them, I think, in that way. I think what we have to be careful is how upset do we get them
right.
when they do ask the questions? Do we project onto them our own feelings toward things, or do we kind of share with them in a way that kind of allows them to kind of walk through this themselves too?
Right.
That's in sort of the problems that we have anger issues sometimes, and we come into our conversations angry. And when we do, it's not helpful at times.
Right.
But I think we do. I think there has to be an awareness sometimes of what is it that we're doing, and where are we walking to, and where are we in this particular place? I mean, I think there's going to be a lot more discussion coming up in the next couple of weeks, after the next couple of weeks,
yeah,
than probably it has been for some time.
Right. Well, and as pastors, we know. So you have this like weird ball of, on one hand, I have my personal convictions and how I function as a Christian and a follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then you have, I'm a pastor of a congregation who I also have to look out for the care of my own congregation and where I'm serving. And then you have this other ball of, but I'm also an invested member of the Church of the Brethren. So I also have, you know, I have these thoughts about how our denomination functions, and you put all those things together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this really weird, complicated ball of wax, right?
Yeah, it is.
And so like I'll personalize it for a second, right? Probably most people know that I'm on the ballot to go for the Bethany Theological Seminary board.
Mm-hmm.
And I have literally, Marty, for weeks tossed and turned at night on if I want to withdraw my name from consideration from the Bethany board.
And we've talked about it.
Mm-hmm. And I still don't know the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if right now the state of the denomination, the state of Bethany, who I love Bethany, graduated from there, really interested in what Bethany does, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's the best use of my time and resources and energy that I'm going to have to take to go be on that board. So personally, I have a lot of issues with some of the things that I see happening at Bethany. Personally.
Right, right.
But for the good of our denomination, I feel like somebody needs to be there to give a conservative
sure.
voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, so there's that. And then for my congregation, but then at the same time, like, I have some really important work that I need to do for my church. And so when you start going to where put all those things together,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's hard to know. Where before, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when the Church of the Brethren was, I think, a lot more high-functioning and things like that, it was like, oh, of course, this is a valuable thing for me to be doing. And now, because of the split and the tensions and all those things, like, now I think all of us, there's a reason why they always say, like, well, we don't get any names for moderator. I think most folks are like, because is it so dysfunctional, it's
yeah.
not worth my time,
yeah.
and it's not worth exposing my congregation or my person, who I am,
mm-hmm.
to that. Like, that feels new to me. Like, I try to nominate somebody for moderator every year, and it used to be that I would say to somebody, can I nominate you for moderator? And it was like this honor. They'd be like, oh, thank you so much for thinking about me if you feel called to. Now, I could not find anybody that I thought of last year. Was like, I ain't doing that.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I think that's part of our dysfunction, and this personal conviction versus congregational health versus denominational health, and those all things live together and make this really weird mess that we're called
mm-hmm.
to live in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and
you want to be moderator, Marty?
No, come on.
You
know, because it's always been that we've been in different places,
right,
in our theologies, but we had a much healthier. I would say, I mean, no church is completely healthy.
Right.
I don't care what they say. You're not this 100%, oh, it's...
Right.
As we always will hear Paul Mundy talk about this Pollyannish
right.
view of what church is. There's going to be some pockets there. But, I mean, we can say there, and I think we've already been naming it some, there is an ill health right now.
Right.
And it is on the unhealthy side.
Right.
It is not that we're healthy. We still have some disagreements. We still have some tension within us. But we're able to kind of, you know, work together and try to do the right things for the glory of God and for Jesus. Now it's kind of like, you know, I have my stand, and I am now going to push that out here.
Right.
And when you've got somebody who's at the top who is pushing that agenda extremely forthrightly,
right,
that's where you're truly unhealthy.
Right. Well, and then you have all of these relationships that just don't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
And I've been public in my critique of the program of annual conference this year, right? I've been public with that. Because part of my thing is we are dying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I will name it. We're dying. And so, but we're putting so much energy into talking about racism and talking about same gender stuff and talking about all this other stuff. Like, can we just try to get ourselves back to healthy again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we not having, you know, more emphasis on navigating the unhealth of the Church of the Brethren right now? But instead, we're picking these galvanizing topics that we, like somebody on one of those Facebook feeds said, well, you go to an insight session that speaks to you, and I'll go to one that speaks to me, and we'll share coffee, and we'll talk about the differences. Dude, we are so far past that. That is the equivalent of the ring bell rang. You go back there, get your bloody stuff stitched up, and I'll do mine, and then when the ring bell comes back together, we'll come back. You know, like, we are past that. Our organization the Church of the Brethren, I think, is in the most unhealthy place that I would argue in the last 100 years, reading church
and
history.
And to be honest, I don't think we know who we are anymore.
Right. And so instead of
us... Would you say that, too?
100%.
I think we are just a mishmash of...
Of stuff.
Of stuff.
And yes. So instead of us just continuing to beat one another up over these politicized options, can we stop for a second? Can we name that we're unhealthy? Can we mm-hmm. name that we're dying? Can we name that 10% of our church decided they don't want to be with us anymore?
And that's a problem. We never have lamented that.
Right.
We've mentioned it. And but we've that, never right. said we've never. I think we're in the midst of that, and you and I experience that quite a bit as pastors. We see people who don't grieve a death of a loved one the way they should,
right?
And how it affects them,
right?
And it affects them later on. And John, wouldn't you say that we have not grieved the loss?
No,
of those
it's barely been talked about.
Who are important people in the life of our denomination? I mean, we have people who left who were moderators of our denomination at one time,
right?
And who had who had a great voice,
right?
Even though we knew where they stood,
right?
And it may not have jived with some folks. But they were a compassionate person who would at least have conversation with you over this.
Right.
And we have not, we're still not there.
And we're having a statement of repentance at annual conference this year. But in my opinion, we ain't repenting from the right things. If we're going to repent over something, like, we have so much brokenness in our own denomination. Like, we need to be lamenting the loss of our brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. We need to be lamenting that our church, like, we've lost fellowship with folks. And in some ways, like, I have heard and seen public celebration that some of these folks have left.
Right.
Like, people are happy that some of these people have gone because mm-hmm. they were holding us up anyway. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, we need just, I think it would bring so much health to the church if we just named that we are broken.
Mm-hmm.
It is not all happy. It is not all sunshine and roses. We are in crisis. Mm-hmm. And I just think if we walk into annual conference like, oh, everything's wonderful, everything's mm-hmm. good, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. I just, that to me is some of these tensions that we're talking about.
And is anything wrong with just walking in and saying we're a broken group right now?
Right.
I mean, don't families do that sometimes? That's why we send families to family counseling.
Right.
Is for the moment. They're broken,
right.
And they need someone to kind of help them look at what's happened, talk about what's happened, and figure out how do we sort of come back together in a somewhat healthy state.
Right.
And we've gotten to the point now that I don't know if even if we named it, we could regenerate, you know, in some
right.
way, or how would you say, heal in some way. We might could. We don't know.
We don't know.
The only one that knows is God, right?
Right. And
and so we're, but like you said, not naming certain things, and maybe that's the responsibility we have sometimes with our podcast that we haven't done as often as we should. And, you know, friends, we may not get to be on the coffee house.
Well, that's it. I mean,
you know.
And I love, like, I want to be very clear. I love these brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're talking about people that I care deeply about.
And there's some that I look forward to having conversations and seeing. And
right. But at the same time, we also have brothers and sisters that I care deeply about who left the Church of the Brethren. They're gone.
Yeah.
And their absence has left a hole. Right?
And I would suspect, John, that a lot of the denomination hasn't experienced it because a lot of it happened in our district and a couple others have been the ones that have really
and because
lost the people that we've respected and loved the most.
Well, and because there are sections of this country where you're 8 hours, 4 hours from the nearest Church of the Brethren, and like we're 4 miles,
right?
Wow. Right, mm-hmm. And so we literally have folks that we saw on a weekly basis at pastors' gatherings, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. that we sat with the district. They were friends. They were colleagues. They weren't just names. They were people that we did ministry with, and they've left. And now that whole relationship's changed.
Yes.
And somehow you have to be able to name some of that. And mm-hmm. I just feel like, I don't know. To me, that's one of the pitfalls that if I were to say one of the things we could do better is I think we could name the dysfunction and the unhealth of this organization mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. better.
Yeah.
And because you can't heal if you're not you can't heal until you're willing to admit that you're broken.
Right.
And I have yet, and maybe I've just missed it, and if I have, feel free, point me out. I don't feel like we've had enough moment or any given moment where somebody stood up and said, "We are broken." I've heard us say, "We are not of one mind. We're not unified." We are way beyond not being unified. We are way beyond we are broken and need major change to continue together.
Yeah.
So we're just scratching the surface of what the next couple weeks are going to look like for us.
Yeah, you know, John, it's kind of fun to kind of walk through this. I mean, just for our audience, you have to remember, we don't write stuff down. We don't have it pre-prepared. We're sort of just flying off the cuff.
This is off the cuff.
You know, I think a lot of what's happened is, as we've come back together, we've just been rethinking about what does it mean to be who we are and where we are.
Yeah.
And we're going to, and I think we can name it too, you know, we're grieving a lot of this.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Because John and I are, I mean, I'm 57, almost 57 years old. I have been raised in the Church of the Brethren.
Right.
And this hurts.
Right. This is not. Oh, a part time thing. This is our heritage, right?
For me, it's not like a person who may come from another denomination into our district, our churches, and go, we can just leave. You know, we've done it before.
Right.
I think when you've grown up in it, you're.
Yep.
This is a difficult place. It's a difficult conversation, and it's. It's hard to think about the fact that you might not be with it anymore.
Right. Well, and
that's not to say that, you know, I mean, we have to distinguish the fact that we're not saying that our allegiance is complete with the church. We're followers of Christ first.
Right.
But we have a group of people that we have been a part of for ever.
And we've, you know, you and I have, we're part of those folks that, We've been deans at camp, and we've attended camp, and we've served on district leadership and denominational leadership. We've invested time and love and care and energy. This is not just a passive thing, right?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
I think folks forget that, and I shared this with a committee at Mount Zion about this, the way that they interact with the church, like they see, you know, this is how, how we interact with our denomination. That's where, you know, that's our collective group that we can mm-hmm. can partner with. And so this is also isn't just a thing for us. Like, this is something that we've mm-hmm. given parts of our life. Like you, I've been Church of the Brethren my whole life.
Well, John, again, it's been good to chat. And we're fortunate to have a good audience of folks who have supported us. And we are appreciative of those who are going to support us this summer as well. So I just want to say thanks, and I know John does too. Thanks for your listening to the podcast. We do value you as a listener and hope that you enjoyed what you heard on this episode. Tell all your friends they can find us on Podbean and iTunes. And as a listener, if you like what you hear, please rate the podcast. Maybe even shoot us a comment or two.
And if you don't like it, well,
keep it to yourself.
Just keep it to yourself. You can also connect with us on Facebook or email us at 2PTpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
God's best on your day.
Thanks for listening to the Two Preachers Talking Podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter or connect with the show by emailing 2PTpodcast@gmail.com. Join us next time for another episode of the Two Preachers Talking Podcast.